of suspense.
My name is Ralph Dixon. Perhaps I'm taking a risk by making this tape recording. Perhaps the time may come when this recording will be used against me. But my reasons for putting the facts of my experiment on record are far more important than the risk involved. After my death, this recording can be used to prove conclusively that fate is stronger than love. The experiment is almost ready. Very little remains to be done. Just a few little touches. The planning began a long time ago, but I didn't begin the actual work till yesterday, when I called at the apartment of Madeline Parker.
Dr. Norman.
Hello. You remember me, don't you, Madeline?
Why, of course. Ralph Dixon. Come in.
She was surprised to see me. She would be even more surprised when she knew why I'd come to visit her. She was going to help me in my experiment. An experiment that could end only in death.
We'll be back in just a minute to tell you more of tonight's story, The Experiment.
Yes, she was surprised to see me. And not very pleasantly surprised either. But she concealed that with a charming smile.
It's been quite a while, Ralph.
Yes, 6 years.
Won't you sit down?
I'd rather look at these watercolors of yours. Your painting's improved, Madeline.
Thank you.
I went along to that exhibition of yours at the Morton Gallery. Most of the paintings had already been sold, but I was lucky enough to get a landscape, the harbor scene.
Oh, I'm glad you liked it.
I'd much rather have bought some of the others. But then, I was never lucky where you're concerned, was I?
I don't know what you mean.
Of course you do.
Ralph.
Don't worry, my dear. I'm not going to try to make love to you. How's George these days?
Fine.
Lucky man, George. President of the senior class, captain of the football team, and soon he marries you. I wasn't surprised when I read of your engagement. You and George were always in love, weren't you? Almost from the moment I introduced you to each other.
That's right, Doc.
There was a photograph of the two of you in the newspapers the other day. You make a handsome couple. With all his hard work, George still has his boyish looks. I don't know how he does it. Look at me. My parents left me a fortune. I haven't a worry in the world. And I look closer to 40 than I do 30. Ah, I like this self-portrait, Madeline. May I buy it?
I'm sorry, Ralph. It's not for sale.
I'll pay a high price.
Thank you, but no.
The money had come in handy for you and George. That research work he wants to do.
How did you find out about that? George hasn't told more than half a dozen people.
I know most of what there is to know about you and George, Madeline. Though we haven't seen each other all these years, I've kept in touch with your, activities. I know that George has ambitions. Oh, not for money. Dear me, no. He could have a wonderful medical practice on Fifth Avenue if he'd cultivate a bedside manner. But George has ideals. There are diseases he wants to stamp out. He's going to devote his life to the welfare of others.
Is that wrong?
It's not practical. But then, George Kelly was never very practical. He was always a handsome idealist who was able to do most things better than anyone else.
You've never liked George, have you?
I've been jealous of him ever since that day I introduced her to him.
Ralph, there was never anything between you and me.
That wasn't my fault.
Look, I was always flattered by your attention, but...
But you never encouraged me.
I tried not to.
That's right, Madeline. You were always true to George.
And that was a thing I never could stand.
Sorry, I didn't want to lose my temper. On my way here, I told myself over and over again that I must lose my temper. I must be completely objective.
Why did you come to see me, Ralph?
Because of George's interest in research work. The type of research that he plans to do, Madeline, will cost a good deal of money.
We know that.
How are you going to get the money?
We're not sure.
You're going to keep painting, of course.
Oh, yes.
That won't bring you nearly enough money.
We'll think of something.
I'm prepared to let George have 50,000, Madeline, in cash.
Why do you want to do this, Ralph?
Money means nothing to me. However, there's a little experiment I'd like to conduct concerning you and George.
Experiment?
Remember the psychology class during our last year's university?
Yes.
One day, Professor Rawson lectured on love. After the lecture, there was quite an animated discussion.
I remember.
My argument was that love is a state of mind that can be induced, but one could force himself or herself into falling in love if the stakes were high enough.
And I said that that was an attitude of forced cynicism.
I'm afraid quite a few of us lost our tempers, but George took your side. Love, he said, is something that can really happen only once to a person, that it comes from the heart. I said that the one way to disprove his argument was to find two persons who were ideally in love, and then to smash that love.
It can't be done.
Nothing will undo true love, eh?
That's right.
Love goes on and on and on, regardless of what happens to the parties concerned.
Yes.
Then you and George, you could never fall out of love.
No.
And perhaps you won't be afraid to try my experiment.
Are you serious about this?
Quite.
Can't do any experiment to disprove love.
I say that love can change to hate.
No, not my love for George.
And his love for you, how about that?
It's the same thing.
Are you prepared to test it?
This is foolish.
You're afraid.
No.
Then prove you're not afraid. Prove that George's love for you couldn't change to hate. I'm so sure it can that I'll give you 50,000 in cash, win or lose. I'll deliver it here tonight. On the condition that you live up to all the rules of my experiment. 50,000, Madeline. Enough for George to start his research work tomorrow.
You can't be serious about this.
I've never been more determined about anything.
But what do you hope to gain?
Satisfaction. All these years, I remember that afternoon in the psychology class. You and George were so smug with your love, so contented and sure of yourselves. Well, here's your chance to prove how great and wonderful your love is, to yourselves and to me. But you can't. I know you can't.
What if we do?
You'll show me I'm wrong, but you'll still keep the money.
I just can't understand what goes on inside you, Ralph.
I'm a cynic, and I feel that I have ample reasons for remaining a cynic. Unless you and George can show me otherwise.
Would it make any difference to you? Would it do you any good?
It'll help me no matter what happens. If I win, then I can go on my merry way. If you and George win, well, I'll probably look around for some nice girl and settle down.
I'd like to help you, Ralph.
Well, here's your chance. Help me, George, yourself. It's easy. However, let me warn you, Madeline. If you lose, your entire world will fall around you.
I won't lose.
Then you agree to the experiment?
Yes.
Good.
What are the rules for this experiment?
They are complicated, so listen carefully. Can you reach George by telephone?
Uh-huh.
Fine. In a few minutes, you'll phone him. You'll tell him that you want to see him at 8 tonight. All right so far?
Yes.
After that, you won't talk to him again till he arrives here at 8. I'm sure I can trust you, Madeline.
You can.
Good. When George gets here, I'll be listening from the other room. You'll tell him that you found another man. A man with money, that you're breaking your engagement.
What are you up to?
I'm not nearly finished yet. After you phone George, I'll go to see him personally.
Why?
To tell him of the experiment.
Tell him?
It's not as silly as it sounds. Listen, I'll tell George that as far as you're concerned, my experiment succeeds or fails on his reaction when you break the engagement. I'll then tell him that it'll be just the opposite, that my experiment's success will be determined by your reaction to his statement.
His statement?
Yes. He's going to tell you that he's happy the wedding is off. That he's been carrying on with another woman. That he's madly in love with her. But even that won't be the real experiment. For that, we'll use this.
Gun.
Don't be frightened. As you can see, the gun is loaded with blanks.
I don't even begin to understand what you're getting at.
It's simple. Mere statements aren't strong enough to prove my argument. It'll take something more savage.
How is the gun to be used?
George will be watching for reaction from you, facial and verbal. He won't expect this to be in the cocktail cabinet. He won't expect you to point it at him, to press the trigger.
I'm to pretend...
But you plan to murder him. Of course, he won't be hurt. Not while there are blanks in the gun. Here, take the gun. Put it in the cocktail cabinet.
What do you expect him to do when I fire the gun?
He'll be surprised, perhaps frightened. He won't stop to wonder why he feels no pain, even though the gun was pointed at his chest. He'll react violently. He'll hit you. His love will turn to hate, and there'll be no doubt of it.
You're wrong.
You think he'll react differently?
Yes.
How?
I don't know, but I'm sure it won't be as you say.
And his love won't turn to hate.
That's right. It won't.
We'll see. We'll see at 8 tonight.
In just a moment, we return to our story, The Experiment.
Madeleine made her phone call to George Kelly. He said he'd go to her apartment at 8 that night. She took my gun, loaded the blanks, and placed it in the cocktail cabinet. I left her, promising I'd bring the money in cash at 20 after 7. Then I went to see George Kelly at City Hospital.
Ralph Dixon.
Hello, George.
Well, what can I do for you, Ralph?
I have something important to tell you.
Oh, yeah?
I'd rather tell you someplace where there's no danger of being disturbed.
Oh, now, look, I'm on duty here at the hospital, Ralph. I can't leave. You can say what you want to say here in my office.
First, I want to make sure that we're not disturbed for at least 15 minutes.
All right. That can be arranged. Oh, Miss Damon, I'm not to be disturbed for the next quarter hour unless it's real emergency. Thank you. Well, Ralph, what is it?
I told him more or less what I told Madeline concerning my desire to perform an experiment.
You're crazy.
But then I mentioned the money and how it would enable him to begin his research work. He became interested. When he heard that Madeline had agreed to the experiment, he argued no longer. He listened attentively. Finally.
So, the whole thing depends on Madeline's reaction when I tell her I've been playing around with another woman, huh?
Yes. It will be a violent reaction.
I think you're going to be disappointed, Ralph.
Perhaps.
I still think the whole thing is crazy. But I can use that money of yours to help other people. I'll see you tonight, Ralph.
Yes, he'll see me tonight. It's now 6, and I'll turn off the tape recorder. But at some later date, I'll be back to record the result of my experiment. There are just a few more things to do. First, this gun, a twin to the one I gave Madeline. Now, the final arrangement. And then I'm ready. Have another drink.
Thanks. One of the same, bartender.
What?
And you, sir?
Nothing more for me, thanks. Take it out of this.
You ought to come in here more often, Mr. What'd you say your name was?
Carmichael.
Nice of you to buy me drinks like this, Mr. Carmichael.
Well, I could see you were down on your luck.
Yeah, I'll see.
How'd you like to make about 20?
I figured there was a catch to this.
It's nothing illegal. It's just a little trick I'm trying.
Yeah? And what does this trick consist of?
Just a phone call.
Phone call?
Here you are. Whiskey.
Have your drink, but make it the last one if you want to earn your 20.
All right, let's hear about this phone call.
On this slip of paper is a telephone number. At 20 minutes to 8, call that number.
Yeah?
A woman will answer. Pretend you think she's someone else. Keep stalling as long as you possibly can. And then tell her you've dialed the wrong number.
What else is there to it?
Nothing. Here's 5. If you make the call, I'll see that you get the other 15.
Are you sure that's all I have to do?
Quite. I'll leave the rest of the money here with the bartender tomorrow.
I don't know what you're up to, Mr. Carmichael. And for 20 bucks, I don't care. I'll make that phone call.
Good. Hello, Madeline.
Come in.
Thank you. You know, you look a bit pale, my dear.
I'm all right.
Frightened?
No.
My, look at the time. I'm early. I think I'll sit down and relax for a while. Madeline, you haven't asked me what George thought of the experiment.
It's obvious that he accepted.
Yes, he really needs the money. Oh, the money. Here you are. It's in this briefcase. You may count it if you like.
I won't bother. Oh, the phone.
If you don't mind, I'll make myself a drink while you answer it.
Help yourself.
Thank you.
Yes, Madeline Parker speaking.
No, the cabinet door.
Who? But my name is... Who is this speaking?
There.
I tell you, my name is Madeline Parker.
Now to change the guns. Fine.
Yes. I'm afraid you have the wrong number. Goodbye.
Wrong number, eh? I thought it may have been George calling up the experiment.
He'll be here.
I hope so. Now that everything's ready. We'll be back in a minute to Peril and our story, The Experiment. It's almost exactly 8. Well, George is right on time. I'll go into the other room. Make it good, Madeline.
I'll do my best. Hello, George.
Hello, Madeline. A no kiss for me?
I asked you to come here, George, for a very important reason.
So important that I don't get my kiss?
This is something I should have told you a few weeks ago.
You make it sound serious.
It is.
Well, what is it?
I can't marry you, George.
Can't?
I'm sorry.
What's happened, Madeline?
The usual thing. Another man.
Another?
I'm in love with him. Desperately in love.
You said the same thing about me.
I was wrong.
Madeline, are you sure there's another man?
I wouldn't joke about a thing like that. I'm sorry, but I can't marry you. That's all there is to it, George.
Well, that's a relief.
Relief?
Yeah. You see, I've been going with another woman for weeks now. I'm crazy about her, Madeline. I just didn't know how to tell you, but I was sure of one thing. I wasn't going to give her up, even if we went through with our marriage plan.
During these last weeks, you and some other woman...
Well, you've been seeing this other fella, haven't you?
I need a drink.
Good idea. Pour one for me while you're at it, will you?
All right, George. How about making it a celebration? There's a bottle of good brandy here in the cabinet.
Sounds fine.
Now, where's that brandy? Huh? Here we are.
Madeline.
Another woman, eh?
Put away that
gun. I'll show you. George. George!
He won't be getting up, Madeline.
What?
There's been a change in my plans.
Here's the gun with the blanks. While you answer the phone, I switch guns.
I killed George?
Yes, you killed him.
No, you're the murderer.
Quiet. I've always hated George. Hated him because you loved him. I thought it'd be poetic justice if you killed him.
And you said you loved me.
I did, Madeline. I did. Now, give me that gun. Thank you, my dear. I told you, didn't I, that I would prove that love could turn to hate.
You didn't prove anything.
Yes, I did. Not with you and George, Madeline, but with me. Me. Once I loved you. Yes, I was madly in love with you. But now I hate you. Hate you so much I'm going to kill you. What?
You fooled only yourself, Ralph.
You.
You're wasting your time, Ralph.
George.
Both guns are loaded with blanks. You see, we thought something like this might happen.
I put another gun in the cabinet.
And before that, I placed a third gun behind the bottles, loaded with blanks.
You guess.
We didn't know exactly what would happen, but we took no chances. Madeline saw how dangerous you were, so when you left her, she phoned me again. We talked it over after I saw you, and then we went to the police.
Police? But no one was hurt. You can't lay any charges against me.
Oh, yes, we can.
What charge?
Attempted murder.
But you can't prove it.
Can't we?
How? How can you prove it?
That flower vase. Have a look beneath the flowers.
Huh?
Well, go on.
A microphone. Well, this won't do you any good now.
Breaking the wire doesn't make any difference, Ralph.
Huh?
Did you hear enough, Lieutenant Garcia?
Yeah. We got to record it. We also got the tape recording he made. It's enough to put this guy in jail for quite a while.
I won't go to jail. They won't get me in any jail.
No, maybe not. Maybe they'll send you someplace else. Someplace where they'll try to cure that sick mind of yours. Come on.
Concludes tonight's peril story, The Experiment.